Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays today in May, and some deaths as well, and events. Robespierre, one of the instigators of the French Revolution, he was the part of, there was Marat, and the other one, Saint-Just, and they all ended up on the guillotine before sending others, some innocent, some guilty, of abusing peasants. But all of these guys died violent deaths. The guy who founded the Society of Dental Surgeons, I remember that when you're sitting in the dental chair, Chapin Aaron Harris. The first black medical doctor in the U.S. Medical Corps, as early as 1812, this guy was inducted into the Medical Corps, William Robinson Delaney. Robert Peary, the great Arctic explorer, born on this day. And when you think of shrinks, think of Sigmund Freud and Freudism. Born in a Viennese Jew, I don't think he ever practiced. And remember the great, what was America's and one of the world's biggest banks, Bank of America. It started as Bank of Italy. Amedeo Peter Giannini started it. He was born in 1870. And in the 1906 earthquake, he started the bank as the Bank of Italy to help poor Italian immigrants. During the 1906 earthquake, he got a big cart and got all his money out of the bank building before it collapsed, and then brought it to safety. Then he started the Bank of America, which grew to be the largest bank. Then it went through some serious financial troubles and mergers. His daughter, Claire Giannini, sat on our board of directors, and now I think this bank has merged into Nations Bank in North Carolina. One of the admirals who was, I think he was one of the top admirals in Roosevelt's administration during World War II, was Admiral Leahy, who's from Iowa. Interesting. So were the five Sullivan brothers, who were on one of the USS cruisers, which is sank in the Battle of the Java Sea. And, of course, this has a connection to the U.S. Navy JAG, who's retired now, who worked on the Steve Neary case, Captain Vincent Averna, who was the executive officer on the Sullivans. That's a USS destroyer. They've had many, I think they had three ships launch carrying that name. Rudolph Valentino, the great heartthrob, he died in a homosexual incident He was born on this day. Remember Gerber's, not dog food, but pet food. Not pet food, baby food, excuse me. What am I thinking? Daniel Gerber was born on this day. And how many of us grew up, of course, you probably don't remember. We used to, some of us used to throw it back at our mothers and whoever is trying to feed us that stuff. The great European director, Max Ophuls, born on this day. And Orson Welles, and I think I should play what Orson Welles talked about, what a newspaper should be. And let's see here. Well, while I'm looking for that, we'll go on with the rest of the birthdays. Orson Welles was not born in Chicago, not born in Illinois. He was born in Kenosha, Wisconsin, but he did work, because I grew up in the area, up in near Round Lake, Illinois. Excuse me. And he started his Mercury Theater, which had the War of the Worlds, scared the hell out of everybody, and the people were actually practically repenting. Anyway, we'll get to him. Then one of the great political writers, Theodore Ryder, Teddy Wright, wrote about the Kennedy assassination. First black who really made it in the, one of the first blacks who really made it in the National Baseball League, Willie Mays, his birthday. And you remember one of the great rockers, Bob Seger, born on this day. And, of course, Tony Blair, the Labor Prime Minister, who's is now increasingly controversial of his government administration of England. He was born on this day. Among the deaths was a guy named Cornelius Jansen, who gave us the name Jansenism. Now, Jansenism is a heresy in the Roman Catholic Church, which some people call it Presbyterian, Calvinist Catholicism, which three of their tenets of this heresy was that one of them was that you were predestined in your fate, whether you're going to end up in hell or whatever. It's been, and then there's repentance, and there's one other aspect of this. I didn't know much about it, but I understand that it really took root in France and in Ireland. That's why we had so many problems with these Irish clergy, both nuns, bishops, brothers, and priests. Walden's Pond, Henry David Thoreau, died on this day. And this death is very important. In 1882, Lord Frederick Cavendish was an emissary from the British Prime Minister, who was trying to broker a peace or truce in Ireland. And Frederick Cavendish was trying to give the Irish home rule, but was opposed by the predecessor of the IRA called the Fenians. Anyway, Cavendish was in the park, and along with Burke, another politician, a political not operative, but he was also working to try to get home rule for Ireland. They were assassinated by the grandfather of the former corrupt district attorney here in San Francisco, Terrence Hallinan. What had happened was Patrick Hallinan was involved with the Fenians. I didn't know if he pulled the trigger, but anyway, he fled, and for some reason he was never extradited. He came to San Francisco, became a trolley driver. He fathered one son, Vincent Hallinan, who was a great lawyer, but who was a communist and was involved with the corrupt Longshoremen's Union. Now, Hallinan had, I think, five sons. Two of them became lawyers. Patrick Sarsfield Hallinan was involved in the Marcos case. And the assassination, he was a defense lawyer for the assassins who killed longshoremen in Seattle. I worked on that case from this end. And Terrence Hallinan, who was a left-wing lawyer who was in the Golden Gloves, and some people say he's had his brains rattled. I understand one of his political opponents said the reason that he was not inducted into the U.S. Army because he was emotionally unstable. He got into a lot of fights with people. People tried to prevent him becoming a lawyer. He became the corrupt city district attorney of San Francisco, who took campaign contributions from Kevin Ryan, a controversial Canadian, became a judge down here in San Francisco, and Juan Pifre, a homosexual predator who was in the same category as John Gacy. And just as an aside, up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube, we just got up as a result of getting an exclusive interview from the one youth who escaped John Gacy's clutches. Juan Pifre was a homosexual predator who lured young males, primarily white military recruits, to his house and tried to force him into S&M and all kinds of things. The neighbors complained. He sexually assaulted a young male in a youth disco. Nobody knows what the heck he was doing there to begin with. He was no youth. And he was connected to a prominent Argentine banking family, whose bank may have or is believed to have received stolen assets from Europeans who were occupied by the Nazis. Excuse me. But it's very interesting that the Lord, and now Cavendish's son married Fred Astaire's older sister, well, he had one sister, Adele. And Lord Freddie Cavendish II was in the RAF, and in World War II, his plane was either shot down or blew up. And so she became a widow. She retired to Arizona and I think died in the 80s, and they were a dancing couple from, believe this, the family name was Austerlitz, which is a famous battle city in Germany, and it's a battle which Napoleon won. Now, also, as another aside, the flop in the Fred Astaire movies was the uncle of the probate judge in the Pifre case. A lot of history here, and we'll get into that another day and on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. So go to our updated site, AmiCusVeritas YouTube. My favorite English king, Edward VII, he didn't live that long, and it's like Charles waiting for his mother to abdicate or die. Victoria wouldn't. She didn't trust Edward VII. He died on this day. He had a beautiful wife who was deaf in one ear, and she knew, Alexandra, she was Danish, she knew about Edward's, dalliances with Mrs. Keppel and other beautiful English women. Edward had appendicitis or something. He had to wait. He was sick, and I think it was like 6 months before they could crown him. Queen Victoria died at the turn of the new century, 1901, on January 21st or 22nd. Great Hungarian patriot, Roman Catholic prelate of Hungary, who took refuge. He was imprisoned by the communists. He escaped in the 1956 Hungarian Revolution. He took refuge in the United States embassy and took a long time before they gave him safe passage out, and he went to Rome to be received by the Holy Father. One of the heads of the CIA, William Casey, died on this day, and the great Blue Angel, Marlene Dietrich, she died on this day. Among the events, excuse me, we had the end of the Renaissance. And, of course, if you're watching the Borgias, there's two versions. They're quite different. One is a version put together by Canadian-Italian group, very, very sexually graphic. And the other is the version with the English on, I think, Stars. Anyway, the Rome was sacked by the Spanish and German armies. Now, the head of the Holy Roman Empire was Charles V, the Habsburgs, and they later took over the throne of Spain. That's where the Germans are all over the place, from Vienna to Greece to Germany to England. The only place they weren't was in France. Those were the Bourbons. And now get this, Henry VIII in 1533, before I think he quit the Roman Catholic Church and set himself up as the head of the English Catholic Church, which is called Anglican, he ordered that Bibles should be in every church. In 1529, there was the Battle of Gorgon. This is very important because Americans are still fighting in Afghanistan. They do not know the culture. They've never learned the history. And this is what Brigadier Ingle brought up. I'm somewhat familiar with it. Anyway, this is the only battle in which the Afghans, they were allied with the Bengals. They were defeated by the Mongols. But the British had four military expeditions. They got their butts kicked, turned more than red in all four. The Russians were forced out in the 1980s, and now we are in that situation, and it's bleeding us. Also on this day, 1642, Ville-Marie, which became Montreal, was set up in Quebec, which is the province in Canada. Speaking of the French, Haiti had a revolt against Napoleon, and it was a black named Toulouse L'Ouverture. He was later captured by the Napoleon's forces. He sent an expedition there. And if you want to, I suggest you see the movie Burn, which depicts this type of fighting in that island. And it starred Marlon Brando. Very good film. This guy revolutionized American farming. John Deere invented the first steel plow. And you can see what it looks like because it's on this blog talk. Now, John Deere was an Illinois company. It was later acquired by Massey Ferguson of Canada, and Massey Ferguson is the largest manufacturer of tractors. And, of course, Massey, the name is very prominent in Canada and in America. The Massey brothers, one became Governor General of Canada, the other emigrated to the United States and became Raymond and became a famous actor, worked with Richard Kildare, and he did quite a few movies, and during World War II he played Nazis. He served in the British Army in World War I and then came to Boston, I think it was, and studied acting and then became an American citizen. Remember the Yale locks? I don't think this guy was related to Yale University. He was. He invented the Yale lock on this date. Arkansas and Tennessee revolted against the Union, but Abraham Lincoln used Andrew Johnson, to keep Tennessee in the Union and was kept by force. One of my ancestors came from Tennessee, but he fought on the Union side. Jeff Davis declared war on the Union on this day. And then this is important to the Chinese, especially now, because they're, as Napoleon said, when China awakes, leave China alone. When China awakes, the world will tremble. And we're seeing that here in California with these damaged bolts, these inferior bolts, which were put into the Bay Bridge. And nobody's been able to ride across it. They plan to open it on Labor Day, but if we have an earthquake, it's quite possible, or if there's heavy traffic or any traffic on that bridge, those bolts will give way. I understand from an intelligence source that Chinese have also provided the metal topping for the new World Trade Center. I mean, we can't learn that we haven't learned that the Chinese have a very low or poor quality control system. We've already gone through the chicken poisoning, chicken flu, or bird flu as they call it. Pet food has been defective, killing our dogs. We've had other products, pumpkin, which has been contaminated. And so it's maybe the Chinese are producing too much, because practically every appliance that you buy, if you look at the bottom where it was made, it says China, and they don't mean Taiwan. So, but anyway, on this day in 1882, we had the Chinese Exclusion Act. It's a shame, because the Chinese were brought over here, especially on the West Coast, to work on the railroads, and they were horribly abused. And they couldn't bring over their wives. The ones that came over ended up in houses of prostitution and dope dens, or opium dens, as they were called. And so there were cries against the Chinese, and so Congress passed the Chinese Exclusionary Act. But the Chinese have gotten their revenge. Now they are a big political power here in on the West Coast. We had the governor of Washington State, he's a flake, Gary Locke, even though he spells his name that way, Chinese. He's now the ambassador to China. We have Ed Lee, who came from Seattle, incidentally, mayor of San Francisco. We have many Chinese who are making their mark in American politics. And, of course, in Hawaii, you had Hiram Fong, the banker, and then several Chinese who became prominent national politicians. So the Chinese are here, And they're making getting even, as someone said, for all the abuses and that were heaped upon them, and the discrimination, the racism, and the all of these things, the denial of economic benefits, but use their backs and their slavery to build the railroads and to work in the gold mines here in California. You talk about denying things. In 1890, the Mormon Church renounced polygamy, although there are some splinter groups which are engaged in it. And then the Eiffel Tower was completed. I remember when I was in Paris, I was looking at the signs, and there were many languages, watch your wallet. Fortunately, I don't think anybody's committed suicide off the Eiffel Tower. Maybe some have tried. And this is a date to remember, lest we forget. 1942, on this date, Corregidor surrendered to the Japanese, and MacArthur was ordered by FDR to go to Australia and resume the fight from Australia. Since it's Orson Welles' birthday, I'm looking for that, and let me see if we can find it here. I have so many of these things. Among the things we ought to be worried about, as I brought up earlier, is that we've got some interesting anniversaries this week. In the San Francisco Police Department, we have the Brodnick case. I was working on the street as an investigator at the time on a murder case for insurance, murder for insurance. It was difficult to prove. But anyway, I remember that day. It happened on May 1st, 1969. And Brodnick was a police inspector who was investigating this group called Los Siete, which are a bunch of thugs from the Mission District, and they were burglarizing. And Brodnick was brutally shot, and his partner was also wounded. There was an infamous case called the Los Siete case, the Seven, and the lawyer was Charles Gary, who was Armenian heritage, and he was a lawyer for the Black Panthers. It's also interesting that the Black Panthers were also involved with Juan Pifre, who Juan Pifre got involved with this case. He was here as an exchange student from Argentina at the time. He came here, I believe, in 68. And he was an Argentine citizen. He remained an Argentine citizen up and including his death. But that's what's important, that these things are, the threads go all over the place. Excuse me. And again, people are asking questions, given the state of the economy, should I buy used underwear and used socks in a thrift store? Well, if you do, some of the workers have warned you better wash that stuff very well, and you're running a risk. Now, one of the issues is about the Boy Scouts. Now, it's interesting that these people who have been agitating against the Boy Scouts, the woman who started this was a Brit named Angela Bradstreet, very controversial, and she started several years ago. She came here from England. She had a solicitor's card, which is like an investigator in the English legal system. A barrister is the type, the professional that argues the case in court. The solicitor goes out and investigates it and prepares it. Well, anyway, she came here, and then she's an active lesbian, and she's been involved in real estate, controversial real estate dealings in San Mateo County, San Francisco County, and Marin County. It seems that she is very political, and she started this campaign against United Way because they funded the Boy Scouts, and because the Boy Scouts have had a lot of problems, like the Catholic Church, of allowing homosexuals in, and there have been sexual assaults, seductions, and, of course, the Boy Scouts have been sued, and they do have a list. And so she started this campaign and then brought that campaign against the Boy Scouts and against United Way into the California legal establishment. And somehow she got involved with Schwarzenegger and got appointed a judge, and she's a very controversial, generally incompetent judge. Anyway, that's where it started. Now, since we're running a little late, I started a few minutes late, we will have the Balder von Schirach interview, an excerpt from it from our archives. Now, he's the guy that headed the Nazi youth, and he's very interested. He was in the docket at Nuremberg, And his mother was American, and he one of his descendants was a signer of the U.S. The Declaration of Independence. But he ended up being a Nazi and ended up in prison for 20 years. Then we had Orson Welles. I've got to find him. So running a little late. I'm sorry about that. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. And we'll be back Wednesday. We'll try to start on time at 8 o'clock. So or maybe I'll just run if I can find him. Excuse me. We have so many interviews here. But again, we'll go with our usual, and we'll play it Wednesday. Still got this cold. So only with our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a kick. Oh, give me some
gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale? Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play it for a pot! That's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Wednesday at 4 p.m. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSPERITAS. Good night.